Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This hour of Red Sox Review is brought to you by National Lumber, your local Anderson Windows dealer.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
And a pitch hit in the air, pretty well hit in right center. Mookie Betts back to the wall, leaps and can't get it. It's off the top of the fence and into the crowd for a home run.
Recapping the Red Sox loss against the Yankees.
And Paxton strikes out the side for the second time. It's double digits now in strikeouts.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Blake Swihart, Could make up any lyrics you want to that one. Easy to stomp on the Red Sox tonight. Easy to be railing on him after a 6-12 start. 7.5 out. This is Red Sox Review Final Hour. I'm Evan Drellick, 617-779-7937. Joe Cortez behind the glass, taking all of your Red Sox calls and thoughts after you thought it was getting better. I thought it was getting better. I was in here the other night. Rally at Fenway Park. I think I tweeted out in all caps, the night they turned it around. Nope. Doesn't work like that. It's always the easy narrative when a team is struggling early in the season to go, this is all they needed, a little kick in the butt, little energy to turn this whole ship around. But it was Joe Torre or maybe somebody before him. You know, momentum's your next day starting pitcher. That's really been the case for the Red Sox. You can talk about the hitting not being there. A little bit of me expected them to drop off a bit offensively from last year because you had so many guys who had really good years. But this team, the way they've been built, the way they've been designed, look at where the money is, it's about the starting pitching. And it just has not been there. And so as they move forward, they'll get these guys right eventually. I do believe that. Chris Sale's going to be fine as long as he's healthy. And you saw him tonight. I know he didn't get the job done performance-wise, but the velocity's creeping up. It was creeping up last time out. It got better this time. You saw more of the slider. He's not locating well. Neither is Nate Eovaldi right now. Erod, well, you've had a couple bad and one good, so, you know, kind of the story of Erod's career right there. Porcello, he's Rick Porcello. He'll give you some good, he'll give you some bad. When it's bad, you're going to see a lot of home runs. Doesn't really have the stuff to get away with a lot of mistakes. They're making some mechanical changes to Eovaldi. I think he'll improve. The rotation will get itself sorted out. And once they get sorted out, then it's, okay, how big is our hole? How much do we have to dig here? Are the Rays for real? Are the Yankees, with all the injuries they've had, able to actually keep up? And the Yankees are pretty impressive because they've had all these injuries and it didn't look like a terrible ball club tonight. Maybe you thought you'd walk into New York and just see an injury-riddled team and you'd be able to walk all over them. Nope. It doesn't happen like that. And there are a lot of things about this Red Sox season that are just not happening the way they did last year when the fairy tale, everything fell into place, all that jazz. And if I'm in charge of everything, and they should do that. I need a job. They should hire me, make me in charge of the whole damn thing, lobbying for a job right here. If I'm in charge of everything, I look at 2018. I go, this worked. We won. We got a ring. Fantastic season. But long term, I don't like the direction this is going. I'm concerned. You know, one of the guys they gave up in the myriad trades that Dombrowski's made, a guy named Ty Buttrey, one of the callers last hour, asked, well, where's the Red Sox development of pitching?
On other teams.
On other teams is exactly right. Ty Buttrey, nobody remembers him. 26 years old, fourth rounder in 2012. The Red Sox drafted him. He's on the Angels now because they traded him for Ian Kinsler. He's an Angel for, I don't know, 6 years. That's how this works in baseball. When you're a young player, you're cost controlled for under team's control for 6 years. Six innings, nine strikeouts, no walks, no runs, zero ERA. Young, hard-throwing, right-handed reliever. The Red Sox traded away for Ian Kinsler. And you can say Ian Kinsler helped them win the World Series. That's great. It's wonderful.
But Ian Kinsler isn't here right now.
Ian Kinsler's not here right now, and a lot of guys they traded away aren't here right now. And Yoan Moncada got off to a very hot start this season. So it's not about the individual deals on their own. It's not about looking around and going, well, I wouldn't have done that. It's about what they haven't done, which is also replenish, which is also have some sort of eye on the long term. Because now you're starting to see it. You're starting to see what happens, Joe, when the gambles don't pay off for you. And I go back to Dave Dombrowski is a 25-man roster builder. He built arguably the best 25-man roster in Red Sox history. But if he fails at doing that this year, if he fails at building one that's, I mean, I think they'll be competitive, but if he fails at building one that doesn't get them even back to a wild card, you got to think very seriously if you're a Red Sox ownership, if you're the boss, which I'm going to be soon, about whether you want this to keep going in the same direction, whether you want somebody to come in. I'm not saying kind of go all the way to Ben Charrington, but that's the mentality you need to have. You know, if Charrington and Dombrowski are polar opposites in some way, you need to have a little bit of an eye on the future. And getting rid of Blake Swihart is just spitting in the face of any sort of long-term thinking with this team. And if you're Dave Dombrowski, I think you understand why they did it, why he did it. I don't have a contract beyond next year if I'm Dave Dombrowski. I got a roster that's a win-now team. I'm a win-now guy. I didn't get a chance when I was the GM of the Marlins to repeat after the Marlins won the 97 World Series under Dombrowski. They had to sell everything off. Gone. Poof. So now he gets to bring back everybody with the hope and belief that everybody will perform the same. But you know what happens in baseball? Guys have different years. It's so weird and crazy. Sometimes people regress. Sometimes people get hurt. 2016 to 2017, to me, was a fascinating thing. Everybody's wanted to attribute it to David Ortiz. But there was a big drop-off there. You know, the wins were still there, but the offense wasn't nearly the same. So what if the team isn't the same this year, or even close to it? Because that's what you're seeing now. Just sustained bad play. They'll get better. But if you don't have that, if you don't have the 25-man roster as Dave Dombrowski, well, what do you have to hang your hat on if you're a Red Sox fan? And that's why all these people call up about Sandy Leon or Alex Cora. You're missing the big picture. Damn it, that's what I'm here to tell you. There's nothing Alex Cora can do right now. I don't know, maybe besides bring back Blake Swihart, which you can't do. That's not an option. That's going to change something. You know, Mookie Betts leadoff or not. Whatever. Who cares? You know, the future of the Red Sox, the overall health and sustainability of this franchise and this team, Cora's done a fantastic job as manager. I can't believe people are turning on him this quickly.
Well, what do you expect? What's the first thing to go when something's bad?
Apparently the catcher. Apparently the catcher after 17 games is the first thing to go. But that to me is the GM being the reactionary fan. Like, there is a reason that GMs don't travel with teams, because you want to keep a cool, steady head. You don't want to get too wrapped up.
You can't have a relationship.
A little bit of that.
Not like, you know, to the most extent, but you can't have this, you know, I'm going to come over and have dinner with your family every Friday night relationship, and then 2 weeks later we're trading you off to San
Diego. I guess. I mean, you know, well, Theo and Curt Schilling had dinner, and famously on the Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but Curt Schilling wasn't going anywhere.
Correct. It's about just not riding the highs and the lows and kind of making objective decision-making. And I don't see the objective decision-making here, because you made a choice 3 weeks ago, the end of spring training. You had your catcher. And then you have so little confidence in the choice that you're reacting like this now. I mean, what kind of message does that send to your clubhouse? You know, panic is an overused word. in these moments. But when you have a move like getting rid of Blake Swihart, like that's signaling to everybody in that room, uh-oh, we got to change. This is, we've hit a point now, 18, 17 games in, where something that strong has to happen. That's not how baseball works. You know, you only need 11 wins, I guess 12 if you count the wild card, to win a playoff series. But the whole argument of the playoff series, it's a small sample. It is. Like I'm sorry that's the nerdy thing to turn to, but 17 games, which, by the way, Blake Swihart did not start all of them, is not nearly enough to be like, yep, this ain't working. Bye, Blake. See you later. Goodbye. 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review, 11-11, make a wish on WEEI. I assume you're wishing for a bit of a Red Sox turnaround, and it will come. You know, if you're sitting there thinking the Red Sox are going to bottom out, this is not 2014. This is not a roster like that where you had a lot of small pieces kind of work and come together perfectly and beautifully in 2013, and then, you know, what did you do going into 2014?
Or if you actually think the Rays are going to take the division.
Well,
by the end
I think
of
the Rays do have a real chance at the division, because if the Red Sox, I mean, just mathematically, you know, both of these teams now got to climb out. The Yankees, who are in second place, the second place New York Yankees at 7-9 are 5.5 back. You know, a week long losing streak for the Rays could end this. But if you're looking at the Rays and going, that team's not for real, then you're not watching them. You know, you're not looking at the run differential. They don't have the offensive firepower that the Yankees do. The Yankees are going to finish with probably the best offense in baseball.
Number one in the division.
Absolutely.
And the Red Sox will be playing the wild card game, a one game playoff.
Well, that's the scenario. If you're a Red Sox fan, you've got to kind of worry about now. Is September going to be about a division race, or is it going to be about a wild card game? And you get to a wild card game. Boy, Sandy Leone better call the greatest game of his life.
About Chris Sale? Hopefully he figures it out by
now. You know, and I have faith in Chris Sale in the moment. And I have faith in Chris Sale to be better here. He will be. The Red Sox will be better. If you're a Red Sox fan and you're kind of looking for something to feel good about, they're not this bad. There's just no way. You know, were they 108 wins good last year? No, they weren't. You look at some of the other numbers involved, they were not quite as good as that, and they had a lot of things break their way. And this year, you've just had a lot of bounces that haven't gone their way. The old cliche. They can't lean on that, but things will start to turn around. The bullpen is still going to be an issue, because you ran Erasmo Ramirez out there at Yankee Stadium with a 4-0 deficit. And Ramirez, I feel bad for the guy. Red Sox debut, awful. Two home runs, four more runs, game slips away. So nobody's really going to be talking tomorrow about the state of the Red Sox bullpen, because once again, the starting pitching gave it up and the bats have been quiet. So you've got bigger issues at the moment than the bullpen. But in a game like tonight, you know, that's where a guy like Hector Velasquez, were he available, is valuable. That's where the damage you've kind of done to your pitching setup by not having these guys built up early in the year, you start to feel it. Because let's say you have someone come in after Chris Sale's 5 innings and shut the Yankees down. You know, 4-0's a lot different than 8-0. But that's the story of the Red Sox this year compared to last year. It's playing from behind, and playing from behind far too often. The starting pitching is supposed to be the bedrock of this team. Chris Sale's going to be good this year. Is he going to be good for, you know, two or three or four more years? And the Red Sox, the way they've gone about this with Dombrowski, the way they've left him in the wind, I think, with the contract, you know, the incentive for them is to just kind of turn away any thought of the future. Like, what if you're Dave Dombrowski, what the hell do you care about Blake Swihart 2 or 3 years from now? You're only under contract through next year. So I get it from a personal motivation standpoint. This is a 25-man roster that I built, and I got to win now, damn it. But ideally, with a front office, you want someone who's got the overall holistic outlook for a franchise. And now, you dummies, are you starting to see the other side of the coin. Some people, me, and some others, tried to explain the risks involved with what the Red Sox were doing at many different points. And the risks never bit them at all last year, like at all. But you can't get away with this forever. And you've got all these other teams out there building sustainably. And this Red Sox team, if the 25-man roster isn't quite as good as you thought it was, you just don't have too much to hang your hat on behind it. Traded them all away. Gone. It worked. You got your ring. But where's the trade? Where do you say enough is enough? Where do you say thank you very much, Dave and company? We really appreciate the effort you gave us and the fantastic 2018 season. It was wonderful, but we need to go in a different direction. I got that speech recently. We need to go in a different direction. Has anybody ever gotten fired and been told anything different? We're just going to go in a different direction.
I've been fired because I didn't show up, but that was when I was 16 years old.
I didn't show up to Mutt and Callahan. I didn't get fired. But
oh, yeah, that was great.
That was kind of...
No,
that,
it was good imaging for a week, though.
Yeah, we're all about the imaging and the hashtag brand here. Jack in Montana, what's going on?
Hey, I've heard a number of people comment that the Red Sox just aren't getting good breaks, that things aren't bouncing their way. And I have to question that. Because from my perspective, I've watched quite a few of the games this year. They seem like they're just asleep. The bats really aren't getting there. If you look at sort of the team batting averages, they're middle of the pack to low middle of all MLB teams. If you look at the number of errors, they're tied for third place with fielding errors. And if you rank sort of scoring percentages for fielding, they're at the bottom of MLB. And it strikes me that the team is just not functioning both at an individual level and at a collective level. They just seem like they're dazed.
That's Jack, where the the talk of a hangover comes into play, and to some degree, I think it's understandable the level of exertion these guys put out. And I know they get the off season, but there is a toll, a physical toll. Like 162 games is an insane amount of games to be played, sure. and then to go through October as well. You know, a slow start. If this ends up just being a slow start, I think you can have a little understanding to sluggishness out of the gate.
Well, so how do you explain the Astros then? The Astros are on fire, and they played deep into October. So I don't see a parallel there where we're seeing them kind of show that fatigue, that sort of postseason lag.
You know what, Jack? You're right. Because I don't really believe in the hangover narrative. That's a great point. You look at other teams that, look, I mean, the Yankees haven't played great, but in no way is it written in stone that if you have a great long October run, you've got to come back the next year and be sluggish. And the Astros, we want to bring up the Astros, the team I covered for 2.5 years, that front office had its own problems. Complete opposite of this front office, at least at the top. The difference between Jeff Luhnow, who there have been many criticisms you can levy against him, the guy who's leading the Astros, and Dave Dombrowski could not be farther apart. Dombrowski is an old-school baseball guy, started in the 70s. Luhnow was a businessman, a McKinsey consultant. But the one thing the Astros have done and focused on, maybe better than anybody else, or at least as well as anybody else, is sustainability. They've been very, very, very disciplined and prudent, and maybe to a fault at some points. You know, they almost didn't trade for Justin Verlander. They finally bite the bullet and do it at the second trade deadline in August, which is now gone. But they've held on to their young talents. The whole Astros plan, for anybody who's followed the rest of baseball to some degree, it wasn't about just winning one World Series. It was about creating something sustainable for the long term. And that's really the victory to be had in baseball these days. You know, and it's not to detract at all from what the Red Sox were able to do, but I think you could look back years from now. Totally possible. You look back and you say, they only got one? They couldn't have put themselves in a position to get more? You know, did they do everything they could to keep this window open and rolling on and on? You know, every team at some point probably has to retool. I don't know about rebuild. I think tanking's crap. I think it's an insult and a smack in the face to fans. And you're going to see less of it. You know, Mike Hazen, former Red Sox GM under Dombrowski, talked to Jason Mastrodon of the Herald recently and was saying, you know, we're trying to retool, but we're not spitting in the eye of the fans. They're not going all the way down. You didn't see the Brewers go all the way down when they rebuilt. The Yankees, they've got a lot of money. Yankees are a great model for the Red Sox because the Yankees were able to turn it around without losing a lot. But the way the Red Sox have been built here, you have the cliff. Let's introduce the concept of the cliff. The cliff is staring them in the face in coming years. You know, and you could say you pushed the cliff back a little bit with Sale and Bogarts, but that cliff is still there. And yeah, it's a little scary. I keep seeing the Roadrunner in my head, you know, just going right off the damn thing. Chip in Rhode Island, what you got?
What's up, Jellick? How you doing?
Beautiful, Chip. How are you?
Not too bad. Hey, man, listen, I'm driving home late from work. I just want to give you props on your Red Sox insight, man. I love listening to it. I know you get crushed with Mutt in the mornings, man, but I used to listen to Mutt back in the day.
Whoa, has Mutt been killing me lately? Hold on.
I don't like that. I don't like how they treat you, bro.
Yeah, you know, they're an interesting lot. I appreciate the call, Chip. I'll deal with them tomorrow morning. If you haven't had enough of Red Sox Review, I'll be back with Mutt and Callahan. 6 o'clock, 6 a.m. Might sleep in the studio. I'm happy to take your calls on whether I should do that. You think that's a good idea? 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review. I'm Evan Drellick. Trending is coming up. Another half hour in Red Sox Review. I'm Evan Drellick. 617-779-7937. Taking all of your really insightful Red Sox calls. I made the mistake, Joe Cortez, of looking at the text line. This one guy is really angry that I think...
Terrible idea.
Really angry that I think the Rays have a serious chance. Hey, Bozo, you paying any attention to what they're doing and the guys that are doing it? You think Tyler Glasnow and Austin Meadows are nobodies who weren't highly touted prospects, who don't have the potential to be good? You think Blake Snell's a joke? Pay attention. Wake up. Do something else besides, I don't know, watching this awful Red Sox baseball team. You know who had to watch this awful Red Sox baseball team tonight, Joe?
You.
Downtown Ian Brown, my former, we'll call him my boss, my mentor, my dear friend, who's been kind enough to grace us on Red Sox Review. Brownie, what's going on, man?
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. What's the scene there? Is like the clubhouse dead? Like, what was the post game like?
Dead is a good word for it. It's very quiet in there. You know, guys are just they're kind of befuddled by what's going on right now. Chris Sale kind of said it all tonight. He's embarrassed for his family, for the team, for the city. So it's just a weird vibe with them right now, to tell you the truth.
Is Cora being accountability, Alex? Like the post game tonight, did you hear from him kind of enough that said we've got to be better, or is it playing it like, oh, we'll be fine?
No, tonight's core was kind of like, we'll be fine. It was sort of like not as much urgency and not as much anger as I would have expected. I think he'd take the silver lining from the way Sale pitched tonight because the velocity was up, because he thought the slider was a little better. He actually predicted that Sale was going to pitch a gem the next time he pitches. And that was, you know, we asked Sale about that after. And Sale, that was where Sale used the F word and said, we better effing hope so. that was what he had to say about that. But yeah, I was surprised. I thought Alex would be more kind of downtrodden tonight. Maybe he's just trying to keep a positive front right now. I remember Terry Francona doing this at times.
I mean, you can't be angry. You know, I can be angry all the time on the radio, just, you know, like me and Rob, anytime we're on the airwaves, we can rant and rave. But I guess Cora can only play that card so many times.
Yeah. And like I said, I think that when Sale's actually throwing 95, 96 tonight, he's actually encouraged by that. And as far as the bats, there's been games where Cora's been really upset with the offense and kind of disappointed in their approach. I think that, you know, reading by what he was reading between the lines what he was saying, I think he thought that Paxton was really good tonight, and tonight was more of a case of Paxton just throwing a good game than the Red Sox really being off their game offensively.
Mookie Betts looks shaken up. Is that any long-term concern? What did he say after the game?
Yeah, he said he's fine. He said he just kind of, you know, he hit his hand jumping up to try to catch that home run there. And he just said, he said it was nothing. He just said it took a while for the, he just said it was numb for a little bit there. But he's not an excuse maker, so he's hard to read sometimes. But, you know, I didn't get the, you know, he didn't seem concerned after the game.
No, you know, they're always very upfront with injuries, these professional sports teams. They like to tell us what's really going on right away. What did you make of Swihart? You know, what was the mood? Of, I mean, even in the press box, what was kind of the pregame scene once that news got out?
Yeah, it was kind of you know, unexpected for it to happen this soon. And that's not the first time they've done this with Swihart. If you remember, Evan, it was 2016. It was a similar time of 2 weeks into the season. They pretty much pulled the plug on Blake Swihart, and they sent him down to talk at that time. They don't have the option to do that right now. But I think it was kind of
he was
like
playing the outfield at that point, right?
No, I mean, at 2016.
Oh, that's right. He was catching a little bit, and they that's right. That's right. He was catching that.
Sort of similar thing. So at some point, you know, this guy, they just don't think that he can catch every day in the major leagues. And, you know, I think that it was really, you know, it's almost like they had to do something here with this start, and this was like one of the few things they could do right now is have a little shake-up catching with Sale. Pitching tonight, it kind of reminded me of the whole thing in 06 when they panicked when Josh Bart couldn't catch Tim Wakefield's knuckleball, and they traded for Doug Pirabelli again. They brought him back, and then they had that whole thing with the police escort, and Wakefield pitched great. Mirabelli was great that night, and you thought maybe that would happen tonight, but no such thing with this.
Yeah, it would have been an easy story to write, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of fans on Twitter last few weeks have been saying that the Sandy Leone thing was a big issue, so at least
You know fans, they always got their finger on the pulse. They've always got it figured out exactly what's going wrong. Do you, when you look at the overall picture here, you've obviously seen them play in person. I can't say I've been able to do that anymore.
You're welcome anytime, though.
Oh, thank you. I'll take your seat in the press box.
Yeah, sure.
Do you sense real trouble here? Are we beyond the point of it's a slow start and 7.5 games in the division is a real problem, or is this just like, they'll be fine?
No, I mean, I think that it's going to be a real problem if they don't fix this in the next week or two. You can't just keep digging a hole. I do think that, you know, nobody's playing up to their capability right now. So it's hard for me to think that every guy on this team who, you know, helped them win 108 games last year, I mean, all these guys, it's hard for me to think that all these guys stink all of a sudden. So for whatever reason, they're just in a collective funk. I mean, Mookie Betts isn't going to hit .212. You wouldn't think Sale's going to keep pitching like this, especially if he's going to throw 95, 96 like he did tonight. Price and Erod pitched well their last couple starts. So there's some signs. So I'm not ready to say that this team is done by any means, but they got to get this kicked into gear. And they got the Yankees tomorrow and the 3 in Tampa. So that would be a great opportunity. I mean, if they get swept, you imagine if they go down there to Tropicana Field this weekend and get swept. I mean, they could pee.
Ian, I don't want to feel aroused this late in the show. Please, let's keep it PG here. I'll indulge you for a second. What are the Celtics going to end up doing? You can mix it up for half a second. Big Celtics wonk and historian Ian Brown.
I think they'll have a pretty easy time of it in this round here against Indiana. I'll probably win that.
No. I know. We'll get out of this round, but then what?
I think they're gonna shock the world and beat Milwaukee, and then I think they will lose to Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Always a pessimist, Ian Brown. Hey, for my own validation, how many people are asking about me? You know, just out in the press box. Anybody miss me down there in New York?
Everybody. Where's Evan Jeller?
I want names and specifics. Damn it!
No, I gotta protect my sources. You know how that is.
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry. I interrupted your outing today. By the way.
Oh yeah, that's all right. It happens. You know, you break more stories than any unemployed guy I've ever seen.
Thank you, Brownie. You're the best.
You got it, bud. Talk to you soon.
Ian Brown, RedSox.com, longtime Red Sox beat writer, was trying to hang out with his family today when I had the audacity and the nerve to break that Blake Swihart had been designated for assignment. So I apologize to Ian Brown who always brings good insight. You know, I tend to think he's right, Joe, that it's not really time to panic. I almost think the front office and Dombrowski panicked more than is deserved. If you look at just how early it still is, yeah, these games matter, but in no way is 7.5 games insurmountable.
You know? Especially this early in the season. I mean, you have the entire rest of the season. Who's going to make deals at the trade deadline? You have so many other you've played the Yankees once. You still have to play your entire division at least 6 or 7 more series.
Yeah, but anybody trying to tell me the Rays are not for real, you are flat out wrong. You're not going to tell me, Mr. Baseball over here, doing this a decade, that watching that team and who is doing it and how they're doing it is a paper tiger. They won 90 games last year. They came in third place in an unbelievable American League East. So if you want to call up and talk about the freaking Rays, we're about to boot a $200+ million payroll team out of first place in the division, take a title, American League East title, 617-779-7937. We can keep discussing the Red Sox issues. But I want to take the heat off Alex Cora. You know, I'll be back here in 6+ hours with Mike Manansky, who was you know, doing his stupid normal thing of trying to mix it up, stir it up, putting Alex Cora on the hot seat. What a ridiculous take. This is a guy, Mike Manansky, who was trying to lobby for a World Series ring, which, by the way, I think I would give him because he was around a lot doing the pre and post. I would hope Will Fleming, who's doing a great job on pre and post this year, would get a ring as well. I think Mutt deserves a ring, but not when you have idiot takes like that. And the manager fixed so much last year.
Alex Cora is so rattled.
He might be a little rattled, maybe a little bit. You know, he might have put his foot in his mouth after game two when he was trying
to. Hot seat?
Yeah, the hot seat is ridiculous. If you want to put a guy in the hot seat, it's the president of baseball operations. It's Dave Dombrowski. It's not Alex Cora. Even if you want to say this plan with the starting pitchers has led directly to some of these troubles that they've had, well, the plan did work last year. But Cora's not wrong when he tells you that it worked a year ago. Did they take it too far this year? Probably. I think so. You know, they backed him off even more. They had fewer spring training innings in a big league game than they did in 2018 when they were already kind of playing with fire a little bit there. So the gambles, maybe they could ease off some of these roster gambles. Maybe they could stop playing with a short bench. Because eventually Mookie Betts is going to come around. Eventually Chris Sale is going to be the real Chris Sale. He's healthy. Where are those phone calls tonight? Where are the people saying they gave the contract to a guy whose shoulder's hurt? He's throwing 97. He ain't hurt. You just were too impatient to wait for him to get built up a little bit. Problem is, you wait to get built up and you end up in a gigantic hole in the American League East. And that will become the story for a while. There's no way the Red Sox end April, I don't know, higher than third. You know, they're not getting back to the top of the division super fast.
Sale will get it going. He needs some more of the weather, dude. He's a bag of bones. He needs those ligaments to warm up a little bit.
Joe, he's already got it going. You know, his command isn't there. Evaldi's command isn't there. But the rotation, like of all the things that are going to be a problem long term, I'm not sold on that. The bullpen, you should still worry about because you're trotting out Erasmo Ramirez against the Yankees in April. Because you've tired out your guys so much. Marcus Walden. My God, we've arrived at Marcus Walden talk. Marcus Walden was pitching very well. They had to send him down. You know, they needed a fresh arm. That's not good in April when you've got good arms that are already getting worn out and you've got to start doing that shuttle between Pawtucket and the big leagues. But that was the gamble that the Red Sox took. 617-779-7937. Final segment of Red Sox Review coming right up after this.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
I really, in spring training and our catching, we had a really a split camp on what move we were going to make. We debated it long and hard. Finally decided to go in this direction because it actually is finally my decision. It ended up being a spot where we also thought we might get Leon through waivers, which we did, so we could have some depth. But then as we got here at this point, you know, there's only one move you can make, and it's with Swihart if you're going to replace him. And so for us, we just figured we wanted to bring Leon up to handle our pitching staff. He's really good at it. And so we're in a position, that's what we decided to do.
Oh, can you hear my eyes rolling back through my head? I really wish you could. Final segment of Red Sox Review. I'm Evan Drellick. 617-779-7937. Joe Cortez behind the glass. It's Dave Dombrowski, Red Sox president of baseball operations, explaining the decision to get rid of Blake Swihart. First of all, that little part at the end about it's the only roster move you can make. Well, hold on. You carried all three of them last year. The whole damn year. In 2 months, you didn't use one of them. So what changed? Now all of a sudden you can't do that? Oh, right. Your bullpen isn't proven enough, and your position player's banged up, and you don't have enough depth. And
Pedroia took the one roster spot left.
Yeah. You know, but they made that work last year. It's just a little, oh, now you realize you shouldn't be carrying an extra catcher you don't play. I think that's kind of funny. But he's right. You shouldn't be carrying another catcher that you're not going to use. The other thing about that, though, and Joe, you tell me if you ever think along these lines, because as a reporter, you kind of get used to it. Dombrowski today gave you kind of what I think is the real evaluation of spring training. It's not like coming out of spring training, Dombrowski was like, you know, we've really got a split camp here. This is how we feel. It's always after the fact. You never get the real answer, truth, explanation about anything until something happens down the road. It's always after the fact. So when people get, I don't know, defensive or annoyed when reporters ask questions and follow-up questions and, what you know, why don't you take the team at its word? Because time and again, over and over, the word is proven bad. Oh, here's what really happened. Oh, okay. So what you're saying is last time you talked about it, it was a lie? It was a half-truth? And we just swallow that. We just accept it. And I don't, you know, it sticks in my craw is what I'm getting at here. Every time there's some sort of roster move, you only get the half-truth, and then later on, oh, this is what's really going on. Enough. Just tell me how it is. Play it straight up. Truth always wins out. Usually. Sometimes, and maybe in this situation, if they had said something about Swihart kind of having half the vote, maybe that's a little bit of pressure on the kid, but 17 games?
26 at-bats?
It's a joke.
You know, he's never gotten a true opportunity to hit more than, I don't know, a month, maybe. And that's not even starting every day either. I want to think that he's probably got consistent games, maybe in all the years he's been here, maybe twice. Like, I'm talking consistent series.
He never got a chance. And so I'm sure somebody can call up and find something in the baseball reference, you know, game logs. Oh, he played from X day to X day. Last 2 years in the big leagues, post-injury. It didn't happen. There was never a real opportunity for Blake Swihart. And if you want to go into the player's shoes for a second, which I think people don't do enough of, it's always from the team perspective, you screwed this guy's career up. I mean, he could be fine. He could end up great. You know, he's got a World Series ring. That's lovely. A lot of guys don't end up getting one. But from the desire, the perspective of wanting to succeed individually, Blake Swihart's agent talked to me on the record last year and said he wanted a trade last year, like May. Just an utter bungle of a situation. It's really, really, really bad foresight and management with Blake Swihart. And to me, that's kind of the metaphor for what's going on here in the big picture. This is the microcosm of everything. It's what do we think reactionary in the moment might help us a tiny bit, even though if you actually look at it and step back for a second, look at the facts that it is only 17 games in the season. Facts don't back it up. Sorry. Sandy Leon is not more valuable right now than Blake Swihart. You're not going to convince me otherwise of that. You are wrong if you think that.
Oh, I'm a real baseball wonk. I think a catcher is really important.
No crap, a catcher is important. No, you know what? That you need somebody behind the plate who knows what they're doing with a game plan. That's lovely. But there's also a point when you have that guy behind the plate and he can't hit for you know what, that it's useless. That you're fighting the tide.
Hitting gets you in the lineup at the end of the day.
You know, and they said the right things today, as I just talked about. They don't always say up front what's going on. You know, there's no sense at this point that the pitchers were actively lobbying that Chris Sale walked into Alex Cora's office or told Dana Lavangie, get Swihart out of here. I think Swihart looked frustrated with Sale looked frustrated with Swihart the last time out, which, you know, is understandable. I mean, Sale should be only frustrated with himself. So let's just assume that these guys didn't do that, that they did not lobby to get rid of Blake Swihart. I think that'd probably be going too far. It'd be hard to imagine. It's impossible. No. But let's say they did not do that, and Red Sox management goes, you know what? The pitchers will be more comfortable. You mean to tell me you gave a pitcher a 9-figure contract, but he needed a safety blanket? That's what's going on in your head if you're the Red Sox president of baseball operations? Look at Chris Sale's numbers lifetime with other catchers. I can pull them up. It's not even worth it. They're good. He's been good wherever he's been. You know, he played for a team called the Chicago White Sox, and this may stun people. It's late. I don't want to really throw people for a loop here. He didn't have Sandy Leon in Chicago when he became the ace that made the Red Sox want to trade for him. Just letting you know that. You know, what can these guys get dressed in the morning without Sandy Leon there? When you start to like actually think about this thought process, it is, I don't know if you can hear it, my voice, it is mind-boggling. Blake Swihart is a valuable piece, and they're going to trade him away or possibly lose him on waivers for essentially nothing. You know, maybe they can land a decent piece. Because what? Because Leon is going to fix his team? They're not hitting. Leon's not going to help him hit. You saw Sale tonight. The hell's the difference? They still sucked. And just inane reactionary stuff from Red Sox management. Again, I will pat myself on the back for doing this 3-hour Red Sox review after having the scoop earlier in the day that Swihart had been DFA'd. Like, Joe, what was your reaction when you saw that?
Oh, I already knew that was coming.
You had the insight?
Oh, yeah. No, I said it 2 weeks ago, dude. It's a pitcher-catcher relationship. It's Sale's not doing well.
Really Team Sandy?
No, I'm not Team Sandy. I just know as a catcher that you have to be able to know what your pitcher's doing. My problem is Sale's a 3-pitch pitcher. It's not hard to figure out. He throws a slider,
a fastball.
Well,
when he's got all 3 going, they can't hit him. But
no, I know. But, I mean, like, how hard is it to relay what you have to do to a pitcher? And that doesn't make a difference who's catching. It makes a difference of when you throw that slide.
You know what the one argument would be against me? I shouldn't do this, but I'll tell you. Is that Price and Sale don't really game plan. They rely very heavily on the catcher. So you can say it's a little bit more important for them. But come on, man. You didn't need no safety blanket. I need a blanket over my body head if I can get to sleep, because I got to be back here in 6 hours. I'm
just
Evan Drellick.
Next to Brady over there. We'll get you a pillow and everything.
I'm thinking about it. This weird little Tom Brady statue might be my pillow tonight. Wouldn't that be a nice photo op when Chris Curtis gets here at 2 in the morning, whenever the hell he arrives? WEI Late Night is up next. Who's hosting that?
Brian Barrett.
Brian Barrett. That's Joe Cortez. I'm Evan Drellick. This has been Red Sox Review. Not going so well. We'll talk to you soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.